A reading from Romans chapter 5, starting verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace, in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The passage from the letter to the Romans that we just heard is, in a sense, a very dense description of the Christian faith. It tells us about humanity's relationship with God, how we are saved through Jesus Christ, how the death and resurrection of Jesus brought reconciliation between humanity and God, and even how in our suffering God is with us. But just before Paul gets to this lovely passage, the letter contains a long discussion about Abraham, and we didn't read that. Abraham was the father of the Jews, who was given the promise that through his offspring all nations on earth would be blessed. But Abraham, of course, did not have the law. Rather, Abraham had trust and faith in God and spoke regularly to God. The only aspect of the Jewish law that Abraham really followed, at least the ceremonial part of the law, was circumcision. And so Paul shows that it was not the circumcision that drew Abraham close to God. Rather, it was his faith that enabled God to work through Abraham. It was Abraham's faith that enabled the promise of God to be received. Even in the face of everything that seemed to go against faith in God, Abraham trusted God. He was already old and did not have the promised heir, and yet Abraham trusted in God and received an heir and the promise. And so Paul says that it was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. It is the same with the promise given in Jesus Christ. It is not through detailed observations of some rules that God's promise becomes effective in us, but rather through our trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Then God can work in us. Then the salvation is real for us. Then God's righteousness, which is his forgiveness and love, is ours for all eternity. We have been justified through faith. By believing in Jesus Christ, we have been declared innocent of all charges justly brought against those who sin and fall short of God's glory. And that's all of us. We all have sinned and contribute to the mess that the world is in. And so, what are the consequences of this justification? Well, first of all is that we have peace with God. A few sentences later, Paul says that we humans were enemies with God. We were actively fighting against God and God's good plans for the world. We wanted to be in control and do everything our own way. And if we want to do everything our own way, then God really is an intrusion into our plans, somebody who has to be kept away. Being at peace with God means being aligned with God's purposes. It means accepting who we are and who God really is. And while there's a vast difference between God and us humans, being at peace also means a close relationship. It's a relationship that's not determined by the gulf between us, but rather a relationship of love. So it's through Jesus that those who trust in him now stand in his grace. They have received a welcome that is not deserved, a love that loves even the unlovable. And so in hope, we look forward to being with God in glory when that peace that we know now will be fulfilled and God will be our all in all. Well, that's all nice and good, but the question Paul had to confront was, why, if we are justified by God, if God loves us so much, if we are at peace with God, why then do we still experience so much suffering? Why do we experience illness and oppression, worry and strife? Is God really with us? Well, Paul will deal with suffering in more detail later on and say that, like creation in general, which looks forward to when the earth will be rescued from this frustrated state, we also look forward to our salvation from the current affairs. But here Paul points to something else, namely that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character produces hope. Well, we all know that somehow human life without a challenge, without difficult parts, makes us not content, but rather discontent. We do need some adversity, some rain to appreciate the sun, some darkness to really see the light. At least that's how we get through this world. And through that, we know who we are as humans, that there are limits to our life, limits to the control we may have, and more importantly, that God is not at our disposal to ensure our happiness. Rather, God is with us in love, God gives us hope, and God shapes us by changing our heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. Suffering is not our destination, but it's part of living in this world. But even in that suffering, we can have hope because the Holy Spirit guides us. We have experienced God through the work of the Spirit, who called us into God's love through Jesus. Through the Holy Spirit, we are enabled to love God, to be close to God, and to be content in God's presence, rather than seeking to control our own lives. So, as you can see, Paul was talking quite a bit about God's love. And since he's talking about God's love for us humans, he comes back to the point of how this love has been most clearly demonstrated and why we can have confidence in God's grace. God showed his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We humans were not lovable, not good, not praiseworthy. No, we were sinners and God's enemies. And yet God loved us so much that he gave his son for us. That's not something we would do. Some are honorable to give their life for someone admirable, for someone really good, and possibly for someone who they think still has a lot of life and potential before them. A father or mother might be prepared to die for the child they love because they have profound hope for this child. Many a soldier has defended a king or queen with their life. Others have laid down their lives to protect truly admirable people or died for a cause, but God died for sinners. Well, one famous example of somebody giving his life for someone else is Maximilian Kolbe. He was a priest who was imprisoned in the Auschwitz concentration camp. After some prisoners had escaped, the camp commander decided to make an example and selected 10 prisoners to be starved to death. When selected, Franciszek Gajowicznik, a Polish Catholic, cried out, "My wife, my children!" And at that moment, Maximilian Kolbe volunteered to take his place. He spent the next 2 weeks imprisoned without food and drink, but continued in prayer until the prison guards executed him by lethal injection. The man whose place he took survived the imprisonment and would be reunited with his wife again. That is indeed selfless love. Of course, God's love was even more profound because he did not give his life for a fellow countryman or a citizen who he cared for, but rather Jesus died for sinners, for those who were opposed to God. That gives us confidence of God's love, and it strengthens our hope. For Jesus Christ not only died for us, but rose to give us fullness of life. We who were once God's enemies can now experience God's love because we are reconciled and we are at peace with God. We can look forward to being with God in eternity, with the one who loves us and whom we love. It's exactly because we are forgiven and reconciled, because we have understood God's great love to us in Jesus Christ, that we realize how much we are separated from God, if not for Jesus. Often we can only understand the gravity of our mistakes once we have been forgiven and once it's been set right. We can only grasp how much we are lost when we see what God was prepared to do for our sake. It's this realization that can give us such deep gratitude, purpose, and hope. And I think with Paul we should rejoice in God for all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Amen.